This episode of the RMR Training Podcast is brought to you by Resolute Coffee. So if you've heard of Resolute Coffee and you've wanted to give it a try, but you're not sure where to start, I'm going to break it down for you. So if you like your coffee to be like a straightforward coffee taste, chocolatey, what you know traditionally as coffee, something clean and nice, what you're going to want to look for is the processing, and it's going to be washed. Wash takes all of the fruit off of the bean, so you're left with just a straightforward coffee bean. And then you get those straightforward flavors. If that's what you're looking for, the Black Condor from Resolute is for you. If you want something a little bit more exotic, something a little bit more fruit forward, something a little bit more unexpected, something a little bit more of an adventure in your cup, then you want to look at that process, and natural is going to be probably the most fun type of cup. You're going to get a lot more fruit forward flavors. Natural leaves a lot of that fruit from the coffee on the bean, so when you get the, so when you make the actual coffee itself, you get some of those fruit flavors. The natural Ethiopian, that's the bomb here. If you want something, some sort of blend of both, there's a hybrid processing called a honey process, which leaves some of the fruit onto the coffee bean. So it's like a natural, like a half and half type of natural and washed processing. The Aponte honey or any honey processing is going to be awesome for you. Whichever one you go with, it's going to be top quality stuff. RR20 at checkout for 20% off. Or if you want to try them all, they have the, you can join the Crush It Club and you get a variety of 5 bags and a mug. So check that out. Link down in the show notes.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Welcome to RMR Training Podcast. Last edition of Mile Hybrid ever. Only ever. 1 mile hybrid person remaining. No, you're about to be at like 100 feet.
Oh no.
That's not even close.
1,000 feet.
Where you're living? Where you're going to sleep?
Yep. It's like 1,000 feet above sea level and just a 30-minute drive from 4,000 feet. So
1K hybrid isn't as good. That doesn't...
No.
5K hybrid.
I'm excited about it though, man. I feel like I'm ready for a change. I'm just like ready for a new chapter in life right now.
You shaved your head and now you're moving. Doing the whole thing.
Yep.
When's the date? When are you out?
So I'm leaving a week from today.
Oh, wow.
I'm driving with the dogs and I bought Sarah a plane ticket and Basin a plane ticket to Atlanta, and I'm picking them up in Atlanta on my way up to our new home. So I just didn't want to, it's just stressful traveling with the kid, man. You know, and
cut that time in like a fraction.
For sure. For sure. I'm going to do it in, I think I'm going to drive like 10 hours the first day, 7 hours the second day, and then like 5 on the third day. So each day gets a little bit less.
Can't make it in 2 days?
I could, but.
We did that on our way home to the East Coast one time. We drove, I think we tried to do 11 and 8 or something like that, or 12 and 8. But going west to east, we crossed 2 time zones. So it was really like...
Right, you lose an hour.
Yeah. 2, yeah, because we stopped in Indy, which is the East Coast. It's like just as soon as it turns to the Eastern time. And it was like, oh, okay, now it's 11 p.m. And we have to get up at like 6. And that was just miserable. I was like, oh my God. But yeah, the pups will need a little bit of exercise for sure.
Definitely. But they're good travel dogs, man. They will not make a peep back there. They're just like happy to not be left behind.
Yeah, like, oh, for
thank
sure.
God. We're coming. Thank God.
Carl will sit in our lap the entire time. He will sit quietly in our laps, happy to not have to do anything. That's how he rolls. All right.
Yeah, man. It's going to be crazy. And then I'm only there for 2 days, and then I fly to Cyprus for one of the camps.
That's wild.
So Sarah's taking care of most of the unpacking. My mom's going to come into town too and just kind of like hang out, help with the unpacking and keep Sarah company while I'm gone.
And then Cologne shortly after that too, right?
Cologne, yeah. Not a lot of traveling, man.
International man you are. Just sitting, hey, man. Just sitting in
that's
in
where those, that's where High Rocks is booming right now.
Sitting in those exit rows, spilling your soda every right. trip. Better believe it. So we are both now preparing for World Championships. We have about 14-ish weeks, 13 or so. We're talking on March 8th. And
before you go on, I feel like I owe you somewhat of an apology.
For what?
For not being as supportive as I should have been for you qualifying for the World Championships last week.
Well, you're too sad.
You know what? I was in my feelings. I was in my feelings. I'm pissed off. And then I got to thinking, I was like, dude, homie didn't even get to race Worlds last year. Like, mm-hmm. this is a big deal for you. You know, like you've had to wait 2 years almost for this opportunity. And yeah, I let my own selfish reasons get in the way of being a supportive friend for you. And I just want you to know that I'm happy for you, brother.
Thanks, dude.
You put the time in and it all paid off, you know?
I appreciate that. I appreciate you like even like acknowledging. I didn't feel that way. I was like, this guy over here, sad. Can't even say congrats. I feel like you said congrats. I don't know.
I did, yeah. But I don't know. Maybe I like half meant it.
You just didn't mean it. Yeah. Now you mean it. So
now I mean it.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. It's going to be fun. We're going to be the whole squad's hanging out there. It's going to be good. It's going to be a fun time. And like having now uninterrupted, because this has been just like the issue with High Rocks for me the past, since Worlds in Vegas, is that I haven't had any real idea where my A race is going to be. I felt like every race I needed to show up and just be as good as possible. And my training would just kind of be moved around so that I could try to get a qualifier or get a time that would kind of get me into a qualifier. And now we just have time to train and just like build it up and point it to something. So I'm really excited for that. Like that's one of the things I'm most excited about. And that's been kind of like the primary goal this week is figuring out what I want to do and how I want to organize the whole thing. And you spent time doing that last week. That was plane ride home. That was
mm-hmm.
all you
do. Mm-hmm. I do. I may not seem like it, or I might not come across this way, but I'm a big time nerd when it comes to like programming. Mm-hmm. Like I love it. And I did. I wrote my 10-week block that will begin on April 1st and lead me into Nice. And I feel like it's one of those things where like you make a training plan and then a day or two goes by and then you think of something else and then you go in there and kind of like move some things around or change some things up. And I've made a few edits to it since the original one that I made on the plane, but it's all been, it's super fun, man, because it's like, how much can I squeeze out of this thing and come out the other side like the best version of myself, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, the last two training blocks, I've prioritized volume, I would say, over intensity. Like, it was like, how much intensity can I do with the amount of volume that I'm doing?
Yeah,
and this time around, I think it's going to be, I don't want to say the opposite, but I'm going to put more of an emphasis on intensity. So now it's going to be like, how much volume can I do with the amount of intensity that I want to fit in? You know, so it's been really fun to kind of play with the puzzle pieces and see kind of the best formula for doing this. And I geek out over it, man.
And to an extent, though, like it goes hand in hand, right? Like the more volume you put in, the more intensity you can do. And the more intensity you do, like the more you have to have that backing of volume. But kind of how I'm thinking, I'm similar to that. I didn't really think of it in those terms, but the intensity needs to be present for longer. And I'm feeling confident that I will be able to handle it just because of the past two blocks of just straight up volume. Right, like, because I was in a similar boat, I would think, where the totality of the race was something that was concerning, you know, the muscular endurance part would be concerning. So just like trying to get in more reps, trying to get in longer efforts, trying to
as
get
it
in
should be
more run. Right. But now like that, that's like, that doesn't feel as daunting now. So what I'm kind of trying to figure out is how to kind of keep that at maintenance or close to maintenance without necessarily needing to build it much higher or further than what we did the past two blocks, while keeping that intensity, while also putting that intensity in there as well, and more of it.
Where
so we're on the same page.
Just where are you looking to get your intensity from? From multiple different domains or stations, running, machines? Like,
I need my running intensity to be better. Like last time, my running intensity was mostly mid zone three, something that I could do for a long time and sustain, just so I can spend more time on my feet and just kind of build that aerobic capacity that I feel is crucial for this. But the high end just wasn't really there until like the very, very end. Like I put a week of high end stuff in and I was like, oh, of course, like this is something that is needed, especially the way that these races are feeling now, that they need to kind of be stingy early, you know,
immediately.
So definitely on the runs, because there's a lot of, and I mean, you have to be like, it's all going to come back to the running, right? Like, and that's an advantage that I know I have, that you have, is just the ability to do that, and how what our high end running could be is going to be higher than what most others high end running would be. And I've kind of gone away from that to try to play the game of volume and strength. So I've kind of gotten away from my strength to try to play this game. But now it's like, okay, like I have the strength, I have the capacity to do work. Now we need to get fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been struggling a little bit too with trying to like not completely like reinvent, feeling like I need to like reinvent the wheel here with this training program. Because for me physically, It's like, how much do I put on these, you know, I repeated a training block that I did for Chicago and everything was going according to plan.
Better.
Literally until my dad passed away. And then that just, everything started to crumble at that moment. I was having trouble with motivation to train. I like didn't even want to go work out. And then having to like get up for these races was obviously even more of a challenge. So it's like, how much was my results in Vienna and DC due to training? Or was it just like, I was just mentally not in a good place, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm having to figure out the balance there, because I don't want to panic too much, because I know that I was really fit despite not having the results that I wanted. You know, so it's like, okay, how much of that was physical and how much of that was just like, yo, dude, like you just lost your dad, homie. Like what else could you have done in those moments? And you know, this week, I told myself I was gonna take off this entire week.
Uh-huh.
I just needed like a complete reset, like a straight up, like my spirit needed a rejuvenation, you know? And I took Saturday and Sunday off. And then on Monday, I got the urge to just like get like the disappointment out of my system. And I just went into the garage and I did 50 by 200 meter ski with short recoveries. And honestly, it wasn't that taxing of a workout. Like it physically it was fine.
What
but
pace?
Like half, like low 140s.
Yeah,
low 140s. And like halfway through, it was about a 60 minute workout. Halfway through, my mind was just like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. Like physically I could have kept going, but mentally I was just kind of like, dude, I'm done, like right now. And I kept going and I finished the workout, and then afterwards I realized, oh man, like you need a break. Not, you don't need a physical break. You need a mental break right now. Like physically you're fine. And we were texting back and forth and I told you what I did. And I was like, yeah, that was so stupid. I ended up setting myself back by like even a few more days by doing that. So I ended up taking a few more days off after that. And today I went out and jogged 3 miles.
Nice.
You know, and I'm like 20, 25 minutes, it was done. Like there was no, I didn't need any like willpower to like get through something like that. So, yeah, it's just like, it's been hard for me to kind of quantify how much I should change with my training versus what I should keep in there, because I was so fit. I just like feel like my willpower, the will to like push when things get tough, that part of me was like dead. I just did not have that. And I found a little bit more in DC than I had in Vienna. But for me, that's the piece that seems to need like a complete like reset. It's just like upstairs, you know? Because physically, like I said, I feel strong. I feel like everything's firing on all cylinders, but my brain is just tired. It's exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like I do know that I need to make some tweaks into this world championship block, but I'm like, try not to just like panic and freak out and be like, oh, I need to like completely change everything, because no, what I did got me a win at a major in Chicago. So like, don't deviate too much, but, you know, see, like there were clearly some takeaways that I got from Vienna and DC, that I feel like I need to improve upon in my training. So even though it wasn't like great races for me, I still feel like there were great takeaways for me in terms of just like moving forward with like this next big block.
That is a tricky spot, man. Cause like, it's easy to have, it's not easy, but like being able to reflect upon a race and being like, okay, here, like this didn't go well, this went well, this didn't go, this went well, this went well because of these workouts that I did, this didn't go well because I didn't do X, Y, Z. And then it's kind of just like, plugging holes, filling things in, keeping whatever it is. But for you, like that feedback is not so clear. It's just like,
no,
it's like almost not clear at all. So, but like, and the mental,
I do know that based off the training that I was doing, I would not be able to go out at the pace that some of these athletes want to take these races out. So that was clear as day that like, I've got to be able to attack this race much earlier than I want to and be able to hold on.
So do you think that is just a matter of doing, doing like run or Hyrox workouts that are more geared toward the back half where it's like sustain, build fatigue when it gets tired, when you get tired, here's some stations, here's some extra running, here's like longer things. Is it just not putting the emphasis on the front end, or is it just not going hard enough in the interval pieces and maybe having it be like less sustainable? Cause you know, most of the times, most of the workouts that I've done, it's been like, this is not about the first 10 minutes. It's about like the last 40 or mm-hmm. or like the last 20, I guess I should say. What do you think? Like, what do you,
and that's what I thought, like that was the, that's been the emphasis for me is working that back half of the race when everyone's starting to fade and die. That's when I'm going to be at my best. And for me that showed in Chicago. You know, I had Ryland breathing down my neck that entire second half, but I never gave him an inch because I was so confident in those back four stations. And maybe in some regards I got away from training the front half of that race. Mm-hmm. Like I should have. Like I touched on it a little bit, but it was almost any workout that I did, whether it was at the track doing intervals or Hyrox specific workout, I would always end with like lunges and wall balls, like every single time. And it worked, it paid off. But doing that kind of got me away from training the other pieces of the race that I shouldn't have been neglecting like I should have. And as far as the interval piece, I'm kind of been going back and forth. It's like, do I need to do faster stuff with more recovery or do I need to just do less recovery and make the effort hurt a little bit more than what I'm doing, you know? As of right now, I kind of have a blend of both of that in this next build.
So an example would be something like, whatever, 5 by 1,000 with 75 seconds rest, or at like, whatever, 8.5 out of 10 RPE, or 5 by 1,000 with 40 seconds rest at like 8, right? Like having it be...
Or even going like the farther end, like 5 by 1,000 with like 1-to-1 rest.
Going like real hard.
Real hard. So like, you know, 3-minute kilometers or something.
Like VO2 max
yeah,
style.
With like, you know, 600 meter jogs or something in between repetitions, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a place for that.
I think so too.
I really do.
Where would you put that?
I'm right now, I kind of have that at the beginning of my training block.
Okay. Yeah, there's like top down or bottom up kind of style of progression, right? Where you could start it fast and move your way up to longer grindy, or start it grindy and work your way down to fast.
I like the opposite. I like going into like threshold, because for me, it feels more race specific that way. Sure, like doing something harder, a little more stingier into a grindier type race can make the race feel easier.
Yeah.
But I think doing something, you know, I've said this 6x mile workout with 1 minute rest, like that workout just works well for me like 2 weeks out from an event, versus like doing like 5x mile with like 3 minutes rest or something like that, you know.
I'm kind of the opposite. Like I almost call them, there's obviously like physiological stuff that happens with VO2 max intervals. Like you get a lot more of the fast twitch muscle fiber. Like you're going to get like a little bit more of the neuromuscular stuff because you're faster. And like, also, yeah, you could potentially boost how much oxygen you're taking in and your muscles are able to absorb while working at this incredibly high effort. But I almost call them like RPE efforts. Like they just like make my rate of perceived exertion feel easier. Just kind of how you mentioned, it's like, and that kind of gives me confidence too. Those type of things really make my running pop for me. Like, so I got to kind of pick those spots. But I've thought about this as like, and this was your idea actually, kind of having it be like a wave, called a wave progression. We're starting fast, then going grindy, and then finishing fast. It's something I haven't really done, and I'm considering to do that. I don't quite know where my running intervals are going to look like, but they're going to be a good chunk of longer stuff. I'm not going to play around too much with 400s, even for like, because that progression that we started with the threshold, it starts at 400s, right? Like 400, 100 meter recovery, and then it builds up. I don't think I'm going to play around with those at all. I'm just going to go longer from the jump and just have it hurt and suck.
So I think, well, first of all, regardless of what training plan you come up with to get you ready for an event, the most important thing is that you believe in it, right? Like that you think that this is going to get you to that level. Like it could be the most ridiculous training plan ever.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense. But if you believe in it and think it's going to get you to your goals, it's probably going to work, you know? So for me, that's always the most important thing for me when creating a prep for an event, is just like from the bottom of my soul, I believe in it, you know, like that's the most important piece. And I know there's some people out there that can just like wake up every day and just kind of be like, oh, what am I like? Dylan Scott's a good example. You know, he doesn't necessarily have a plan. He might have an idea of what he wants to do, but he doesn't have it like written out in advance. He wakes up that day, says, what do I feel like I need today?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like that. I need like structure. I need something planned out so that I can like be in bed the night before, mentally prepping myself for like the session of the next morning.
Yeah.
That's how I like to operate. But belief in it is like the most important thing. I forget where I was going to go from that point.
Well, I can pick up on that point. You think about it.
Okay.
You think about what's going on in there. But where I start to question myself on this is not necessarily like the stimulus or what it's all going to be, is that I get, especially on this block, I'm a little worried about recovery. I'm worried about like doing too much, and that's, and like not, and like just not knowing it's going to happen, like that I've done too much until it's too late. You know what I mean? So like there's time to take risk, and I feel like this is kind of one of those times to be
sure.
aggressive as possible if I really want to feel like I can compete with this top tier of athletes. So that's where I get a little bit second guessy. I like the idea of lots of work and more hard work than I've done. But at the same time, I get a little bit like, and it's hard to find those answers, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I don't like, no one else is going to know how I'm going to respond to something. And if I'm kind of pushing that limit, I just kind of have to see, like wait and see if it's going to work and have breaks kind of put in there where I'm like kind of see like, okay, this is going to be a lot of build. So being probably taking breaks earlier than I would typically take and having those built in, I think that's going to be important.
What do you mean by breaks? Just like rest days?
Like deload weeks, rest days. Okay. Yeah.
Are you typically 2 days a week going hard? Something like Tuesday, Friday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, something like that? Or do you do more?
I think with this, we can, with hybrid, I think we can go a little more frequent. And depending on how it's going to be dosed, right? And kind of what I'm thinking for this, it's probably going to be Tuesday, Friday, like big volume with intensity, with like, you know, middle intensity zone, 3 to 4 kind of work. And I think on Monday and Thursday, I'm going to have it be a little bit spicier. Like things like 5 to 20 minute type of AMRAP CrossFit-y type things.
So the day before,
like
grindier work.
Yeah. Cause the grindier work, I have a harder time recovering from. If it's like faster, like spicier stuff, I can actually feel fine physically. Like I'm not as beat cause the volume's not as hard. Like my nervous, like aerobically, I don't necessarily ever feel fatigued from day to day, I would say. Like, I guess there's nervous system stuff that could happen that you might not be able to feel. But I'm actually going to, I've been wearing a wearable to bed to kind of get my idea of like what my HRV and resting heart rate is during sleep. And that seems to be a decent indicator. Like those things, I'm wearing an Oura ring right now. Have you seen that? Like, it's like a mm-hmm. Whoop, but just like, I've done it all. I've done the Whoop. I had an Apple Watch for a while that had like really good metrics and this ring and then whatever, the Garmin thing. I don't think the recovery score that it spits out at you is accurate at all. It's like, oh, go, looks like you're recovered well. Like that's nonsense. That's made up. But the heart rate data is like decent. So I think I'm going to kind of keep my finger on the pulse for a pun right there on that to make sure that I'm not trending negatively, you know, that things aren't headed consistently in one direction.
So you're going to potentially go hard Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, Friday?
Yes.
And then have Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday just kind of chill?
Chill. Easy. Zone two stuff. And I'll probably do zone two in the morning on Monday and Thursday. And then have it be strength with conditioning on the back end. I need to get stronger, man. You know?
Yeah, like I'm trying to lose that.
I don't know, man. I almost I outpushed and pulled you this last time. You sure?
That had nothing to do with
you sure you need to lose that strength?
No.
Let me pull this up. I want to see these. These numbers look great to me.
I've been a 2 day a week intensity person too for honestly like much of my life.
It's classic running. That's classic.
Except
running.
When I was maybe in college when we were doing, you know, 3 track workouts a week.
You know? College was stupid too, because even our recovery days would be like a race kind of.
Right.
We'll just be idiots.
It was so easy to dig yourself a hole.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
And like, yeah, whatever.
But I'm starting to think, so this block I have right now, I have Tuesday and Saturday. So Tuesday is going to be speed, like VO2 max. And then Saturday, it's going to be more grindy type tempo work. And then Thursday, so I get Wednesday and Friday is an easy day. And then Thursday is going to be machines.
Mm.
So I think that's going to be the formula for me is Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And I think even with that Thursday piece in there, because it's machines, it's not going to take a ton out of me.
Physically, it'll be fine. Zero impact.
Yeah.
Zero impact. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Are you going to do two poly sessions on your Tuesday, Friday?
Yes. But the PM will always be probably station focused. I'll do like an EMOM of some sort. But I do know that like the most of my high rocks career, I've focused on, got it right here.
Oh, got Daniels.
Jack Daniels running formula.
You got the Alan Culpepper edition.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I don't know what I have. I think I have the ebook of somebody that's not that.
Dude, when I was coaching high school cross country, I found like every single one of my athletes, like VDOT number.
Nice.
It's like still in here, like in this book.
It's like Jerry.
Right now, I'm like, damn, I couldn't beat that guy right there nowadays. But most of my training for HYROX has been like, I would say, at least my running workouts have been like 10K to half marathon. So a lot of them, I would just go look in this book and figure out what workouts I like the best and put those into my training. But this block, I think it's going to be more 5K to 10K versus 10K to half marathon, you know? So I've been kind of, you know, wipe the dust off of this book and looking, I've even like looked at the 800 to 1500 meter training.
Let's turn it over.
Let's go fucking do some fast 200s, baby, with like big recoveries.
You're going to be running like, like 35s, pulling your hamstring.
Right.
I followed something like that. Or I may have followed, I don't think I did the full program, but I took good chunks out of it for the quality sessions. And he has something for the 5K where you do the VO2 max intervals and then do threshold back to back days in there.
Mm.
And it was
Where is that?
In Daniels.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I must have skipped that chapter. It was like a different edition or something.
I don't know. Whatever, it was part of that program. It may have been because I was following up to do a 5K. And I remember that was really hard. But it kept like a cap on your threshold, right? Like it was just like the energy system is because physically,
which is good,
legs were beat. Yeah, but we can do that on machines,
right?
That's what we can do on machines.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that, and that's something that is in like how this sport is starting to develop, like where the intensity should be. Because it makes sense to train for a 10 mile to half marathon. Like it's kind of within that time domain. Like the best half marathoners in the world are under 60, you know, and like a 10 miler, most, you know, decent collegiate athletes, whatever, will run 55 minutes or so, right? Like, and that's like within the time frame of what we're doing, and also like the caliber of athlete we are in this specific arena. But because of all the starting and stopping and
different, right, it's not apples avenues, to apples.
It's not apples to apples. So I kind of think that's interesting. I would love to get my 5K. I'm going to be running 13. Maybe. I don't know. Nah. What's one quarter at like 14 flat?
Was it 70s?
I can do a 70 for sure. I can do 12. I can do 12 and a half 70s with no recovery. I actually don't know what that pace would be.
I think that's too slow, actually.
Kind of sounds like, I'm like, I don't know if I could. I'll look it up. But I'm also considering that for machines, because I've also done similar work on the machines that I would do for, that would be like kind of what a run workout would be for a 10 miler or a half marathon, right? Like more volume at a sustainable pace with short rest, kind of like just doing threshold stuff on the machines. I'm not sure that's right. I think I'm gonna train, and I was like trying to train my like 2K to 5K to improve. And now I think I want to train my like 500 to 1,000 to improve. Like that effort is not what we're gonna be putting out on race day, but I think having a higher ceiling from a power perspective and then being able to build the aerobic capacity around everything else, I think it's worth a shot. You know, I don't think it would make things worse.
So I'm on the other end. Like, I feel like I have the power.
You're going down, Scott.
I need to be able to sustain it. And intervals on the machines, I'll be completely transparent here. You know this. It's something that I don't put a lot of emphasis on. Mm. I do not waste time doing machine intervals because for me, I feel like it's such a small percentage of the race that I'm just like, how much time do I actually want to spend in this domain? I get, you know, I do a lot of zone two work on the ski and the row, but very rarely will I say, you know what? Let's go do 20 by 500 on the ski with 60 seconds rest. Mm. Like, I don't do that. I don't do that. So that,
I've done that a lot.
That kind of work is something I want to incorporate into my training going forward, because I think I have, like, honestly, if we just went down to the garage and had all the Elite 15 athletes come over to the house and do a 500 meter ski for time, I would probably be up there in the front end.
Top three for sure.
Yeah. My thing is just like the percentage of like your potential, right? Like I need to work on my stamina and my endurance in that area. Cause for me, after I get done with like a K, I'm like, I'm toast. I'm like ready to be out of there. You know, I need a K to really feel like nothing at all is what I want to get to. So I'm going to be doing stuff like that, like run workouts that I will now, like 16 by 400 with 60 seconds rest, or like a run workout that you would do at the track. Now let's go do that on the skis. And I'm also realizing too that like it's working, even though you're working more duration than what you're going to be spending on that machine in the race, it's still developing your aerobic capacity.
Oh yeah.
So you're getting tons of benefits past just what you're going to get on the ski or the row for these movements. So that's something I'm realizing that I need to incorporate more of that into my training.
I think that's smart, because your run training, like, because you like to start fast and end grindy, like, I think like the grindier longer stuff, that helps your fitness pop. So I don't see why that wouldn't be the same on the machines, because you have a good, you have more of an innate ability to put out power and to handle high end. So working on the opposite end, I think will just be super complementary. Where I'm a bit of the, like, I kind of need that fast stuff. Like, I need to catch up a little bit on the power end of things. Right. So I think I'm going to do all zone four of high plus stuff and zone two. Like, I think if I'm going, like, just to get the muscular part of it, because that's an issue when you're going from not much volume to trying to put in some volume when you're intensity. Like, muscularly, I'd just be like, I just can't go anymore. Like, I wouldn't be that fatigued aerobically, but I'm just like, all right, I'm toast. I need to get off of this thing. So that's why I think I'm going to keep some zone two stuff and just sit there for 5K, 8K, 10K at a time, chilling.
So for athletes like us who have spent years and years developing our aerobic system, we are able to do training blocks like this where we do put more emphasis. You have 4 days a week right now that you're planning on doing intensity. What's your advice for listeners who are trying to get better at their high rocks, but maybe they don't have the years and years building up their aerobic base that we have, because we don't necessarily need to spend 6 days a week doing zone two work. We've spent decades doing that kind of stuff. So we can kind of, I don't want to say skip steps, but we can.
Well, it's already built.
Right.
It's already built.
Right. Like we said. So like, what's your advice? Like, would you recommend the everyday person training this way for high rocks, or would you still put more of an emphasis on zone two work and then hitting quality just like once or twice a week?
I think I would put in a lot more zone three, honestly, like mid zone three, kind of gray zone, right? Because then you're still getting some of the power. You're getting more fast twitch muscle fiber activation while going a little bit faster, but it's not so fast that you can't continue to go, and you're not getting anaerobic, right? In that like gray zone three, you're able to sit and it's still aerobic, you know? Like you're not taking it so far that you're not going to be able to get oxygen to your muscles. So I kind of steer people toward that, and it allows them to do a little bit more volume. It allows them to stay aerobic. So because we all want to perform well, right? And it's gonna be a little bit closer to race pace, you know? So
right, that gray zone is kind of what Hyrox is.
Yeah.
Almost.
Totally. Until you're really proficient, right? Like I was all anaerobic threshold. I was stuck there for most of the race in DC. But I think that's for like the highest, like you need to be good at able to kind of move through everything well to kind of jump your heart rate to that point, where a lot of these things are probably going to have like either just your efficiency on the movements, efficiency as a runner, it's probably going to slow you down some. So like sticking in that gray zone, it's like, I think there's some merit to it.
Mm-hmm. I like it, dude.
Zone three all day. 400s for a 14 flat, 67.2.
Okay. I knew it was a little bit faster than 70s.
You got one of those in you?
Oh, yeah.
You got two of them?
Oh, yeah.
You got a 214? 214 and a half?
I used to do, so before Spartan races, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. My Tuesday workout for a Saturday Spartan race, it didn't matter where it was. It could be in the mountains on a ski resort. It could be in the mud in South Carolina. My Tuesday workout was always 8x400 with 400 meter jogs at roughly like mile pace, honestly. And then they would all be 68, 67, 68, and wasn't necessarily specific for what I was about to do, but the sting of that just made a Spartan beast on the weekend just feel so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the last time I did that workout, but it's coming back, baby.
Coming back. That's where I'll start a VO2 max progression. 4x800. I'm sorry, no, 8x400.
4x8 would be fine too.
Eventually. 8x400 with 400 jog is just mm-hmm. like, and like hitting it close. Yeah, like 5K, maybe sub 5K, and just like really taking that jog easy, not like float, like just getting back to the start line to start mm-hmm. the next one. And then maybe I'll build to 10, or I'll go like 3x600 and then finish with 4x400 and then 600s, 800s up. And then I usually cap that. If I'm like feeling great about this progression, I'll get up to 1200s, like 4x1200 with like 3 minutes rest, three and a half minutes rest. That shit sucks.
I'm going to be at sea level, boy. I'm going to be running so fast.
You're going to be able to go there.
And then I'm gonna use altitude the way that it's meant to be used now. You know, like I'm gonna be training mainly at sea level, and then I'm coming to crash on your couch a few weeks before we leave.
We're busy.
Nice.
Nah, locked dude. In. We got nothing.
I got a key. Amy gave me a key, dude.
We got beds, man. You don't have to sleep on a couch.
So I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna be at sea level. I'm gonna get super fast, and then right before we head out to Nice, I'm going to come out to Colorado, get a little altitude boost, and then come back down to sea level, and just going to pop.
It'll feel good.
You need to come. You need to come to South Carolina for at least a week or two. Just get some spicy, fast stuff going on.
I like doing that. Whenever I get to sea level, I'm like, I'm doing something. I'm doing a 2K test. I've done that the past two or three times. I'm like, I'm doing my row, and then I'm doing my ski. I did Karen last time, one of the times I was at sea level. That's something. That's a goal. I want to do Karen 150 wall balls with a 25 at sub six.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
If I could do like 30s or like quick rests. I bought I got a 30-pound wall ball coming. It might be here right now. I'd be sitting out front.
I've got one, man, but I would say
too heavy.
Dude, it's like after like 15 to 20 reps, I'm like, nah, No, we're good here, dude.
I know.
And I'll always say, I'll do like, if I'm doing, I mean, just to make it simple, I could say, look, I'm going to do 100 wall balls for time, but I'm going to do the first 30 with the 30. I'm going to do the second 30 with the 25 and then finish the last 40 with the 20. But I never do it. It's always just the 20.
Yeah. I mean, the 20, you have to do, if you're doing race specific stuff, you have to use the 20 or the 14 or your whatever your competition weight is. Like doing a 25 at the end of a 50 minute workout is just stupid. Like it's not going to be what I want it to be. But yeah, like set standalone, just like sets of wall balls or in some kind of Metcon, I'm like, I think I'm going to overload. I need to get my shoulder endurance up, man.
Do you see benefit in training the lower? Would you ever use a 14 pound?
I don't know. I think that there, I actually went and met with the dude, the head coach over at CrossFit Omnia yesterday, just to kind of talk about some stuff. And he's really into like the way, like I wanted to kind of get an idea of like some programming stuff, like how he might kind of figure this out. But he's really locked into and passionate about like the movement piece and how to improve with movement and like different like exercises, not necessarily like how to organize the training. And because what a 14 could do was help your speed, right? Like you could cycle things faster. But if you do like the 2-for-1 wall balls where it's like you throw it and squat twice and catch it after the second squat, like that's a way that you can still get the muscular load and the speed. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to toss that thing high and just pop, pop. Up and down. Like, I think that I would do that before going lighter, I believe.
I kind of like the idea of training like an 11-foot target.
Mm-hmm. That's not a bad idea, too. You can have that. Your target in Castle Rock was like 8.5. I could dunk on that target.
10, bro.
I don't think 10. So. What? Do you gonna have a 10-foot spot?
For sure. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
We can put it on a tree.
It's there. No, dude, we got that big. It'd be just like I have here, like above the garage. Just throw it against the house.
It's like 8.5 feet. That's like our garage too. It's like, I don't think I can get to 11. Get to 10 plus though. Mm. 10 plus though. So yeah, shoulder endurance is something I need to do. When I did that open workout, the burpee snatch one, the freaking Miram one, maniac, I just like couldn't go. My shoulders got lit. I'm like, man, this is really an issue. This is like a serious issue that I'm having. So
that was so cool. So cool that Miriam won that workout though.
I know.
Cause it just like, I think it looks good. Like for us, like
people are talking about it. Yeah. You know? Who is this person? Yeah. It's like, oh, she's a HYROX athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was listening to the podcast. I listen to like one CrossFit podcast. It's like Talking Elite Fitness. It's a dude, Tommy Marquez and, Sean Woodland, Lauren Khalil. They talked about it and they actually just interviewed Christian too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they're like talking about HYROX and they're very positive. So they have like positive things to say where a lot of CrossFit community is like, cool, HYROX.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, shit's happening. It's just popping off.
Good for her too. Cause it's been a rough go for her with HYROX lately with, I think just some of these girls that she's going against are just superior in terms of like their running capabilities.
Yeah.
You know,
she's clearly used to be
right. Exactly. And she's able to showcase her talents and abilities in the CrossFit space and have it carry over into HYROX, which is pretty freaking cool.
She just must not have been running, you know, she just must not be running like at all to be as fit as she is.
Right. Right.
Because she's run 62 minutes in a HYROX, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think she's just kind of let that go. You see that open workout this week?
Was it deadlifts and double unders or something?
Yeah, it's a 300-meter row. It's 20-minute AMRAP, 300-meter row, 8 deadlifts at 185, 125, so, like, not heavy, and 50 double unders.
Just kind of annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, yeah, the double unders would get me. I just
if you
don't
got dubs,
those.
you don't have one single dub. You and Meg just over here tripping.
I could do one, and then I'd have to stop and reset and then do another one.
The 50 would take you the majority of the time. I have when my dubs are on, like I don't miss, but I have not done dubs in a long time, so I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. I'm going to do it after this podcast. I'm going to go rip it. It's a good time domain and it's like not super skilled. I'm like not far off of intense suffering because that's what this is going to be. You know, you're just going to get to the point. Just, it's going to be like 8 minutes in. You're like, oh my God, 12 more minutes. But I'm going to take it there. If I can get these dubs.
What have you been doing this week?
Chilling, man. Kind of what you said. Like I need to prep my body to run for running outside a little bit. Like, so I've been running outside as much as I can, but only like 3 to 5 miles at a time and just like doing a little bit of this and that, a little bit of machines, a little bit of.
Did you take any rest days?
Yeah, I took, well, I mean like a 3 mile run. Like,
wait, you raced on Saturday, the day after, didn't you? How'd that go, by the way?
The relay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. The dude lined up. There's like a Noob Sanity team. Dude, Matt Gill, is a good runner. And he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to run like 320K pace. I was like, cool. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, for a relay, like, that's fine. And we were not running that. We were running like 450. So whatever, like 250 something K pace. He was hammering. So I was like, ugh. So I had to go with him. And on the ski, I started at like 140, 139, and then just like faded into like 144s, 145s for like the back, maybe 300 or so. I get on the ski and there's a point where I'm just like, mm-mm. I like nothing else is coming out. And this is what I got. And then I got to rest until wall balls. So I just rested until wall balls and kind of took that next run easy. And then just did the 14. Yeah, just whatever.
Did 100?
Yeah, 14 pound ball.
Nice, dude. That's not. It's still a lot of squatting.
A lot of squatting, but it's like, that's how I want the 20 to feel. Maybe one day. So it was fun. And then Sunday, I took off for sure. I think Monday I did, 5 miles. I've run every day, but like between 3 and 5 miles. And I did the open workout. That's what I did Monday. That was like 8 minutes. And then I just did like 20 minutes on the bike. So it's been under an hour every day. I've been chilling. Yeah. I was talking. I was like, yeah, no, I think I might try to run like 30 miles a week. And you're like, oh, so you're just like going for it. And then freaking the next day, you're like, yeah, 50 by 250. I'm like, okay. Like you're the one out here.
I was ready to get after it, dude.
You had
instantly
to find out.
Regretted doing that.
had to find out. Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of like the training block, I need to write out the specifics. I have like a skeleton. Do you have every workout written?
Roughly.
Like 80, 90%?
Yeah.
Subject to change?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I think for my strength, I'm going to kind of go not week to week, but maybe like every 2 to 3 weeks, I'll have something in there and being able to see, because it's something different with the Metcon pieces. I want to see how I'm responding. I want to see if I'm physically holding up because I want the weight to be heavy too. Like I need like I'm not trying to do Metcons that are like DECA strong Metcons, you know, Metcons with like heavier weight and I'm loading myself up, taking a lot of energy to move something and just shoulders, upper body stuff. I'm trying to get my bench up. What do you think you can bench right now?
For how many reps?
One
rep.
Two forty-five. Do you have a max? Do you have a PR?
Oh yeah, I've done 285. Nice. I think is my max.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
You have a bench stronger than your squat.
Oh yeah. That's a problem.
That's for sure.
It's a problem.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try to get it up. I would like to see it at like 250. I think would be a decent number for me. Like I think I could do probably 230 right now. Maybe two. I could put on that combine weight. Yeah, at least one, I think. Get at least one. And yeah, that's really it. What else you got going on? Just moving? That's it?
Just moving, dude. Yeah, moving and then got the camp coming after that and just trying to work through, you know, these. I feel like now I'm finally just able to just take a breath, yeah. Honestly, you know, like I joke about it now, but my dad picked a hell of a time to like decide to like leave You know, it's like he would do this. He would do it right at the middle of a training block into some important races. Like it was meant to be this way. And, you know, I don't think I grieved the way that I should have grieved. I didn't take the time for myself that I should have taken because I had these races and felt like it was my responsibility to go do these. Mm. And now it's been really good, man. Like I've been sleeping like 10 hours a night.
Nice,
I've been
dude.
Napping in the middle of the day, which I never fucking nap, dude. Like I'm not a nap person. So it's just clearly my brain has just been tired. You know, it finally got through those races and now I can just like take a step back and breathe. And for me, that's just been my main focus like this week. And it'll probably continue into next week is just like, hey, like if you want to work out today, you can. If you don't feel like working out, you don't have to. You know, like you just need to do enough in these next couple weeks to just like not lose a ton of fitness, just kind of maintain, or even if you lose a little bit, that's fine. But just focusing on myself, man, because, you know, I've struggled with mental health before. You know, when I was working for UPS, I took like a 6-month hiatus from that job to just go to therapy and work on myself and got better. And then my dad passed away and I feel like I kind of spiraled downhill again. Mm. And now I'm kind of trying to get myself out of that. So that right now is just my focus, man. It's just get myself right, you know? And, you know, I've got a full month before I really need to start focusing on training like super seriously. So I'm not putting a ton of stress on what gets done every single day.
So. Yeah. That's great that you're aware like that, because it'd be easy just to keep your head down, keep the blinders on, and just like essentially try to push the brick wall, you know?
Right.
Like if you don't take this time, like it's not going to get better.
No.
It's not going to get better.
Nope. So anyway, man, dude, this will be the last episode that we have here in Colorado, like you mentioned at the beginning.
1,000 feet.
It's been a hell of a ride, my man.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna miss you. It's a bummer, but you're doing what's right for you and the fam. So we'll see you on Sunday, though.
Yeah, we will.
So we'll hang.
All right, y'all.
All right.
Oh, wait, let's do a little plug.
Let's plug.
Plug a little Powerlift.
Drink Powerlift, man. They're great. They're out there. Plug. We're on the backdrops.
Oh, that looked really sweet.
It did look good.
It looked good, even though good. Matt throwing out hate.
Hater.
Day of the race.
Hating ass.
He's like, look how stupid.
Like, all right, not everything is stupid.
Shout out Blokes. Rich and I are both working with this company called Blokes.
I have my follow-up. I got my blood work drawn this week on Monday or Tuesday.
I got
Wednesday.
In like 10 days.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so I'm interested to see how that kind of does. So like they take a blood panel and then you have some sort of medical professional. It was a registered dietitian who I had met with. And then they just take you through your blood work and say like, and give you reasons why it is one direction or another. And then offer supplementation to help kind of balance these things or just like lifestyle suggestions. It's been really valuable, man. I've been feeling good.
That's
it. I would recommend it.
More to come on that.
Yeah, we need to talk about that for sure.
Yeah.
We should do like
that. And then shout out ESN. Is Rich, what's going down, Rich?
I don't know,
Rich. We got Meg and I on Team ESN. Rich might be hopping on. We might have the whole RMR squad on.
Good
Team
synergy.
ESN.
Good synergy.
Yeah.
Synergy so, for that.
Stay tuned.
Yep. RMR training app. Check it out. A lot of cool stuff coming. Working on doubles. RMR Daily will reflect a lot of the things that we're working on now, kind of the way that that's more of the things that are on the front of our minds and how we're kind of training things. So a lot of things that we talked about today, you'll see some of that in the RMR Daily. So if you're interested in some of the newest kind of training methodologies, that's where you can find that. And then we also have 12-week plans for DECA, Hyrox. We have 7-week progression brought to you by Drop the Hammer. And we have Meg Jacoby collection, which is, I think, almost 30 or 40, just like Metcon specific stuff. And Meg's workouts are hard, man. Have you done one of Meg's workouts?
No. But I am very aware of what they are.
they are legitimately hard. Push your body, push your mind. Check that out. Check out 12-week running program as well.
There was something I was going to say.
You got another plug?
God dang it. What was it, dude? I don't remember.
Oh, man. It'll come to you later. All right. See you, squad.